Coming up in this episode of the Super Pisces Roundup podcast, we talk about the Talvi Super semi-finals and finals, giving our thoughts on who will win. Plus, we preview our next installment of the men's and women's teams. For the men's, that's Joensuu, Kempele and Kite, and for the women's, Pori, Mansa and Mailataret. That's all coming up on this episode of the Super Pisces Roundup podcast. And welcome to episode 49 of the Super Pisces Roundup podcast. I'm your host, Ian Alba, and joining me as ever is our resident coach and guru on all things Pes Apollo. It's Mikko Pironen. Mikko, how are you doing?
Just waiting for the summer, man. I always say the same thing, but now it's you would not believe it when you look outside here, but it's around the corner. And we will also discuss the Talvi Super Pisces today. And I just need to mention to all the people listening to this that, like, as we are recording this, Wales and Finland are playing in football for the Euro qualifier. So we are kind of having a rivalry here, although Ian is not Wales. From Wales to begin with, but and Wales are leading, so I'm in a crappy mood. So,
Well, as our listeners probably all very well know, I'm a big Scotland fan, but of course, living here in Wales, it's hard not to be aware of today's game. So, we'll stop talking about the big round ball and start talking about the little round ball that you hit with sticks. So in terms of news, there's obviously not a huge amount of things going on outside of the Talvi Super tournament at the moment. But what a tournament it's shaping up to be so far. And we've now finished our group stages in both the men's and the women's. And we are seeing the semi-final matchups coming up pretty soon. Mikko, I just wanted to have a talk through these matchups and who you see coming out on top. So in the men's, of course, it's Mansa and Joensuu. Who do you think might pip that one?
Well, I think that Mansa kind of have an advantage at this point, because I think that their season or the winter has not been in such a turmoil as it was last season, because you cannot get any worse than that. So, they made good signings, and they have had like new young players coming in, and now the old ones, quote unquote old ones, who have won it all, they come back. And although Joensuu has been like, they have also been good. They have been like actually good. And Joensuu Aratta he's been really good and like a breath of fresh air there. But we'll talk about him later. But I kind of see, like, although they play in Joensuu, but like, I kind of see Mansa edging that one.
Oh, you see, I go the opposite direction. I think Joensuu might pip it. For me, it's a pretty finely balanced game, and I do agree with everything you've said about Mansa. I just think that Joensuu have that little bit of an edge. Also, Rata has been playing very well, and I've liked for quite some time Joensuu's defensive setup as well. I just think that they might edge it. In our other semi-final in the men's, then, it's Kempele and Kovola. Another good matchup, I think. I'm intrigued to see which way it'll go. Mika, what do you think?
Well, yes, I think that like the overriding theme for the whole season is that when I have started to do my previews for the season is that we are going to get good games, like every match day, basically, like this. But the most important thing and the most like interesting thing for me in this matchup are the pitchers, because the pitching situation is like still not up in the air, but like there are question marks still, I would say that. And like the one who is performing better will give their team a proper chance. Like Gempele is more stable in that sense, but KPL has gone through a lot of injuries in that regard, and you could even say that their third pitcher has been pitching in these Talvisu Super games, and he's been good. He's been good. He's a young guy also, but he's been good. So it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. It's one that I'm struggling to see exactly who'll come out on top. Neither of them are the polished or finished articles, and of course it's only the winter. There's still a long way to go before the regular season's over, and we're looking straight into the postseason there. But for me, it will come down to the pitching. I like Elias Pitkänen with KPL, but of course, like you say, there's been a lot of issues in terms of injuries with KPL. I don't know. I just hint perhaps towards Kempele, but you might as well toss a coin at this stage.
Yeah, but I'm actually leaning the same way, but like it's a close call. I mean, it can come down. We might as well have a coin flip, and that's about it. So, I would not be surprised by any result in either one of these games.
And like you say, it's going to be a bit like that when we get to the regular season. You know, we're going to see these close games. We're going to see a lot less wiggle room between, for example, the top six in the men's. Moving then to the women's semi-final matchups. Again, some very interesting matchups. Monza against Kirittaret. For me, I think Monza are obviously the favourites there. Kirittaret still working through this transition period for them. But it's still going to be a good one, I think.
It will be. It will be a good one. And the game managers are something to take a look at. A new game manager for Monza, Manu Vartia, who they won it a year ago. Both game managers are they approach the game in a very analytical way, so it will be fascinating to see how they approach this game. But in terms of material, like Kirittaret, you never ever write them out on your peril or whatever the saying is, but never ever rule them out, but when we take a look at the material, there is a significant gap between those, and Monza are clear favorites for me.
And then our other semi-final, Lapua against Pori. Again, another interesting matchup for different reasons, perhaps. We talked about Lapua underperforming last year, Pori perhaps a little overperforming in terms of the material. Mikko, how do you think this one's going to shape up?
Well, if there's for sure there's not a lack of firepower. That's for sure. Like all things sign towards like some kind of fireworks, I would say. And it's been fascinating to watch like Pori, Jussi Habakovski coming to men's super, sorry, to women's superpesis from men's game. He obviously he knows the game true and true, but still it's like it's the same game but the different kind of setup that you need to have an approach to. Like you cannot approach the game the same way in men's superpesis and women's superpesis. There are certain differences, and he has learned the ropes like fast, which is not a surprise, and the whole organization is superb, like we have spoken. And they have their offense like absolutely rolling. They are wrecking their opponents, and and Lapua, yeah, they have like they've for me I like them. I mean, I don't know what Ron has done to me, but it's like it's I actually like what they're doing and the signings that they've made and I think that they are seriously they are a contender this year, like Pori also are. But it's gonna be a fascinating game, and I predict quite a bit of runs.
Yeah, I agree. It'll just come down to who's scoring more. I mean, it sounds silly when you say it like that, but it's not a defensive matchup, which we'll talk about Pori in more detail in our previews in a bit. But
Although it has to be mentioned that the surface where they're playing is not the fastest one. So that kind of gives like it's like going to play tennis on a mass court. Like it's not Wimbledon, you know. So it's not like comparable to like if we would play this game in July when there's plus 30 outside or something like that. But anyway, a great game.
So I look forward, and I'm sure most of you will as well, to seeing how those games all shape up. And then ultimately, who will take home the first ever trophies from these tournaments? The other news item I was looking at recently didn't translate very well on Google Translate or anything like that. So a lot of the terminology gets butchered in translation, as we've often talked about, and quite frankly, it became very confusing to try and read and had to reread it several times. But I've noticed that there's a shift regarding the obstruction rule and a discussion about that. Mikko, could you explain that a little bit for us?
Yes. So the change that they made was that the runner on first base, they could obstruct the view of the third baseman or the third base player by standing in exactly the middle of the first base, which would like give more opportunities because once again, it's hard to catch something that you don't see, and you can hit the ball hard to either side, or you can just catch them by surprise or something like that. But now they have come to the conclusion that it's not worth it, because for years and years it's been forbidden to move like from the tip of the first base back and forth, obstructing the view. And now we will go back to that as a rule. And I don't know, there's been like it's been a bit polarizing, to be honest. Like, from the player side, I noticed that on Twitter, like, for example, Berto Ruska was, like, he was defending that, like, okay, he's a hitter, so he is. But anyway, it's like, he said that there, like, there has not been so that many cases that would, like, give clear-cut opportunities for the offense. And something that, like, I think that the most important thing here is safety. Because once we get this rule to, like, to... It would have touched basically all levels of the game. And I can just, I can reveal that when we spoke about this with Jere Dahlström, who is now playing his trade in on the team that I'm coaching, he just calmly said that they just, like a month ago, that they will get rid of this. And somebody asked why. And Jared just said that because somebody will get killed. It's like when you're standing on first base, and even if you know that the batter, they will be hitting there, you're still standing there, you're trying to obstruct the view, you have absolutely no equipment with you. you're just standing there, and if it would happen to come straight towards you, like, let's say 180 kilometers, and you have basically something like 0.2 seconds to get out of the way. So, and when we get, like, further down on skill levels of the game, that's when it becomes, like, the safety becomes, like, part of it. And I think that it was, like, no matter what anyone says, that was the reason behind it.
Well, we often talk about how the core of Pesapallo is quite a straightforward game. But then on top of it, there's a lot of layers of very technical rules, perhaps more so than most other games. And a lot of those, of course, are to do with safety and to do with, you know, how the tactics will work and so on and so forth. And the real essence of the article I was reading was about bringing, you know, this safety to the forefront of the rules and reinstating the ban on the obstruction play. It was interesting because I was thinking, having got rid of that rule, did it really create much of a benefit to the game other than adding an additional tactical element to a certain degree? But the risks in terms of safety are really where the league's come down on and said, no, we'll ban it again.
Yeah, that's like you just hit the nail on the head on with that one. Because that's what it's all about. And still, we're going to have the runner to obstruct the view of another outfield player and not that much further, like, away from first base. But anyway, like you said, that when we come to the layers and when we start talking about that one, you just, like, yeah, we have talked about it like numerous times before that whenever you try to teach this game, coach this game, and like explain this game, for example, it's like the basic rules are you can simplify them to a certain degree, but then again, you cannot, if you want to maintain the spirit of the game and the actual essence of the game. It's like, it is actually like you would be saying that, yeah, this is chess and the pieces move. It's like, okay, but yeah, but there's a couple of layers, like, even on top of that or under that. But yeah, that's why I love this game.
Well, moving on then from those news articles to our next installment of teams that we're going to preview. First up, it's our men's, and then we'll take a short break and deal with our women's previews. Last episode, we had the first four teams alphabetically. Then this episode, we're dealing with the next three teams. So the first team up is Joensuu. We've already touched on them in our sort of Talvi Super news section. Last year was a bit of a letdown for Joensuu, and obviously there was the issue with Joni Rytkönen in the background as well, which took a lot of the wind out of the team. This year, in terms of signings, we've already mentioned Joshua Ratta, who was a huge part of Haminas offense last year and helping them with promotion. But of course, there's also two key other players joining. Nikko Korhonen from Sotkamo, big signing, really interesting to see him fit in there, and Joni Lehikoinen from Kite as well. We did see Juho Häklin moving to Hamina, Iro Kuosa to Hyvinkää, and Elmeri Lietov to Mansa. So a couple of moves here and there. For me, overall, I think Joensuu are up on the signings. I like the direction they're going. Nikko Korhonen, for me, is a key figure for them. And I've got good expectations for this team this year. I think they will do better. I wouldn't say that they are, you know, favourites for the championship or anything like that. There's still teams like Sotkamo and Vimpeli who are going to be very tough in this season. But I like the direction that they've gone this year, and we'll see how they go. Mikko, what do you think?
Well, now it's the third season for Mikko Huotari as the game manager, and so his like footprint should be there. He's like it should be showing that what kind of a team does he want, and what kind of a game he wants to be played, and these signings are like, okay, Häklin was good, but he was always like just. For me, he was coming to Joensuu to play a season or two and like then move forward. Iro Kuosa, that was also known that he would be like going home to where he's from, and after living and going to university in Joensuu for a long time. Elmeri Lieto is a huge blow. Like I love that. I love him as a player. I absolutely love his versatility and the fact that he was able to raise his game to the level that he was. But like, there's certain things in life that you just cannot change as an organization, and I know for a fact that Joensuu would have loved to keep him, like, on basically not on any cost but close. Joshua Ratta has been like I said earlier, in Talvi Super, he has shown that he hits the ball really hard and he makes like also smart choices, so he's I would not be worried about their offense. I am a fan of Joni Lehikoinen fan club. I'm a part of that. So he can fill the gap of Irakusa to a certain extent. And Niko Korhonen is an all like superstar. So he's like, I don't know. He's kind of a, for me, he's the kind of a signing that this organization needs to make that there are, that they are able to challenge for some silverware, because once again, they are one of the biggest organizations, if not the biggest. And still, like, for the past five seasons, they have won bronze medal to show for that. So they need to be able to compete. And yeah, I agree with you. They are going in the right direction, but it comes down to how much the players that they already have can improve by this season. And that is a big, big thing.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the difficult kind of games watching Joensuu last year, where the kind of energy kind of dropped, or and the same the year before. And it's trying to draw those players together as a team, as a working machine. I mean, you look at Vimpoli; it's so well oiled as a machine. It just flows. It's like watching poetry in motion. And Joensuu's not been like that for some time, and that's really what this organization will want to see happen. They'll want to see these players starting to play together in that kind of smooth action. I am relatively optimistic, as I say, for Joensuu this year. I think that they are, you know, going to be outsiders for teams like Vimpoli and Sotkamo, because they are two of the big names that they'd have to beat. But in any given game, there's absolutely no reason why this side can't beat either of those two teams or anybody else. It's how they play. And I'm just looking at the Talvisupor table at the moment, of the statistics. They've outscored everybody in Group A. They've scored 44 runs in their six games, which is a huge improvement when you look at how this side was playing in the summer, for example. And of course, you know, I talk all the time about how you can't really draw too many conclusions from the winter tournament, but what you can draw as a conclusion is that this offense is looking better than they did last year. And yeah, I'm excited to see how that will pan out in the season. Again, another team that we've touched on is Kempele. Can this Northern side stay in the hunt for another medal at the end of this regular season? They've been doing very well in the Talvisupor, but there's a lot of teams in the mix for medals again this year. There's fine margins, I think, between the top six, and it's going to take a lot for this Kempele side to keep the level of energy up that they had and they managed to harness last year and earn their first medal, which was phenomenal. But to then try and repeat that when you've got teams like, as I say, Joensuu, KPL, Mansa, as well as Vimpoli and Sotkamo, it's going to be a struggle for them. In terms of signings, there's not really much to talk about. But Mikko, what do you think 2024 holds for this Kempele side?
They are in the mix. They are in the mix for anything, and like, they are an interesting mix. Like, they have some of the legends of the game, starting from Sami Haapakoski, who is not. Apparently, he's not gonna get older. He just has decided that. And Tuomas Jussila is still playing on a top level. They do have young players who are coming through, who have raised their games significantly last year. They do have players like Teemu Hollanti on that list. He may not be like a household name right now. He played last season some games as a joker, and mostly he played in Ykköspesis. But he's like crazy fast. He's like lightning fast. He's like, if he continues to improve, he adds that quantity, that kind of an element to their game, which there can never be enough of. And they do have, like, they have firepower. And okay, you might say that they still have their weak spots, and that's why they're like, it's like the same as with Joensuu when they played that amazing, like, best out of seven series. We could see that they were like two kind of uneven teams, I would say. And I would say that Kempele has they have a high ceiling, but their floor is not on the same level as the top teams have. So if they hit the purple patch at the right time, who knows? Like, they can beat anybody. But I would say safely in the mix.
And, you know, this is a team that has grown year on year. There are going to be some years where they have to just solidify that position. And I think they've reached this kind of point now where it's trying to maintain and stay in the mix. And, you know, something may come off. They could hit a huge winning streak and go on to win championships. You know, it's possible. It's there for them. But like you say, you know, there are gaps. There are issues that the team has. But on the whole, a very impressive team going out again this year. Playoffs, I would be astounded if they don't make the playoffs. And I see them, you know, in the postseason, giving it a good go for the medals. So we'll see how they shape up as the season goes on. And as I say, you know, we'll see them in the semi-finals in the Talvi Super as well. So more games, more insights, perhaps. The next team that we come to is in a slightly worse off state, and that's Kite. A few moves here. Topias and Matias Litmanen and Joni Lehikoinen, who we've already mentioned, left. And Jussu Latu as well. That's not easy, seeing those players, especially Latu, leaving. We have seen a few players joining. Not anybody I'm particularly over the moon to see until very recently. Of course, the list I've got on the screen in front of me was put together a week or so ago. But Kainanen from Sotkamon, Mikko, is that signing going to be enough to keep this team in the hunt for the playoffs? Is it going to give them the edge over some of their competitors?
Not that signing alone, no. But, like, the players that they have signed are more or less, like, of similar ilk. Because we're talking about players in, like, more or less 25. So, at their prime, reaching their prime, I would say, in Pesäpallo, reaching their prime. And they are relying a lot on Sami Partanen and his coaching skills. And they do have a project in place. they have spoken about it openly, and they have spoken about like coming back to play for to challenge soon, even like publicly disclaiming that the project is like championship in 2026, which is obviously is a stretch, and especially when there are no players like coming from abroad. Like this is what we have in the game, and they do have to coach these players, and they will do exactly that. And their whole winter season has been like I don't even know if I can find the right word like at this point, but it's just kind of like it just went by. Like they never even got a sniff. Like it's it was a sad sight.
Yeah, and the thing that really strikes me looking at the statistics here is they've scored fewer runs than any other team in the men's Talvi Super in both groups. They scored 15 across six games, even less than Patioki. And we know that they've struggled offensively in the last couple of years anyway. I mean, this is a team, you know, we were talking about Kite way back in our first season in 2020 when they had that amazing run in their anniversary season. And we were talking about how there's so many individuals in that lineup back then who showed so much promise and, you know, wondering what that team could look like. And it's sad to see, you know, a lot of those figures have moved on to different places. The project is having to hit a reset button in Kite at the moment. But, you know, this is a club who is very well organized. They have posted very recently, having made a healthy profit from the last season as well. So generally speaking, there's that stability behind them. And we know Kite are the kind of team that will really get the best out of young players, bring them through the systems. And is 2026 a realistic target? I think it's a bit of a stretch, much like yourself, Mikko, but you've got to aim for something. And right now, you know, Kite need to aim for something.
They do. And like the overriding question really is that if Jiri Pippola is struggling, even like, or I would even go further than that, if he is not like a top six, top eight batter in the whole league, it's like they will struggle. And that's why like players like Lasse Vasaranen, who is now the captain of the team, Gainan has played, like he's been a number four in IPV like a couple of years back. So those guys have to take responsibility as well. And they also have had a couple of injuries that have required surgeries, like important players like Samu Vainikainen and Samu Kalevaronen, who have been like out of Talvi Super games for that reason. Bringing them back should ease it up a bit. But still, it remains to be seen. But I can say, I wouldn't say that it's a tense situation after the winter season. No, because they are just starting something new. But the reality is also that even though they are starting this kind of a 3-year stretch under the guidance of Sami Partanen, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, legend there at the moment and a very good coach at that. They will require quite a bit of time, and it remains to be seen what, like, to what extent they have the longevity, and they have the people in Gita also, how will they approach this team if they get stuck in some mid-table struggle again? So will they get excited about the project? That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, there's not a lot of enthusiasm for finishing eighth or seventh, if you know that you're not going to go any further into the postseason in particular. But yeah, it's a project. We'll see how that pans out, not just this year. This is a story arc that's going to span several years, and we'll have to wait until, a couple of years' time before we can realistically unpick and assess how well they've achieved their goals. But yeah, it's not going to be an incredible season. It's going to be one to watch with interest and see what steps they are making forwards. So that'll do it for this part of the podcast. We'll take a short break, and when we return, we'll be back with our women's previews. Okay, so welcome back. Just before the break, we had our second part of our men's previews. Now we're having our second part of our women's previews ahead of the regular season. We're dealing with the next three in reverse alphabetical order. So that's Pori, Mansa and Mailataret. Some big topics to get through here. Pori, we've already touched on this side before. The big talking point for me, obviously, is the change in game management and the change in approach and offense as well. I mean, Jussi Harpakoski, we've talked about a number of times on the podcast where in Patrioki struggled to get anything out of their offense in the last years that he was with them. Became effectively a defensive coordinator with Sotkamo, and now making that shift, that leap from the men's game to the women's game, which, as you mentioned before, there's a number of some subtle and some very obvious differences in the way that you approach the games. But this Pori side seemed to be flying. They're scoring runs as if it's not a problem, and you've got to hand it to the team. You've got to hand it to Jussi Harpakoski as well for the way in which he's made that shift and that leap into the women's game. Do you think that this is a Pori side who can defend their title?
Well, they can, and they have a lot of quality in their ranks. Like the signings that they have made, once again, they are like top level, absolutely top level, like top draw signings. So, okay, they have lost some players who I would say will play a good season elsewhere, but still, it's like they do have the material to play against anyone. And over the course of summer, we will see how well their new system will shape up and take its place, because we as we remember from the the two Pore championships, in reality, in neither one of those, Pore were favorites when the season began, and that's what makes it interesting to me. It's the same kind of a storyline when Nalle Viljanen had to step down in the middle of season for health reasons, and Mattias Kitola came in for Kirittaret, and they won the championship. Now it's more of a thing that what Pokela did with the teams, the quality teams that he had, was for me, it was an ultimate a mic drop. Mic drop that, okay, I here it is. I coached it to this level. I'm out. So the bar is high. The bar is really high. And once they start to play against each other and it starts to get super tactical and even overly tactical at some point, that's where this team will get measured. But they will destroy teams. They will destroy teams throughout the summer, that's for sure. This is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, and looking at the signings and in particular Johanna Pyrskinen, she's made an impact in Talvi Super already. 8 runs in the group stage from their games. I am really interested to see how this team plays throughout the summer. I wonder what will happen if they reach the final and they are the favourites, because I'm not even sure that they were the favourites going into either of the finals that they won that we just mentioned.
No.
They weren't the favourites in the season, but when it came down to the final two, they weren't even the favourites then either. So it was that kind of determination against the odds that was incredible for both of those seasons. It's a different kind of pressure if they go in as favourites, for example, and I'm not sure how they'll approach that. But an incredible team to watch, and like I say, fascinating to see this team's offence just come alive so far in the winter. Moving on then to Mansa, so near and yet so far. At the end of last season, it was a year that everybody was sort of expecting that final to be a bit of a blockbuster, and it was. But it was Mansa who came on the wrong side of it. Change of game manager. But what really impresses me about this Mansa side, okay, there's not a lot of movement in terms of signings, but what really impresses me is how they've been defending so far this winter. 7 runs. That's all they've allowed in their 5 games that they've played. I mean, that's some serious work. And friend of the show, Venla Tanhua, is an incredible pitcher. And you know, they say offense wins games, defense wins championships. Well, this team's got both in spades. You know, they've got a great offense and they've got some serious defensive players too. I see them in the finals. They could well be champions. They're looking pretty good to me, Mikko.
Absolutely. I mean, when you take a look at their roster, when you take a look at, I actually think that Hanna Lammela from Kempele is she is a prime example that if somebody from, say, outside the top 3, top 4 would make that kind of a signing, I would be, she's a bit of a hidden gem, because she was the one bright spot on that team for a long time, and now that she's also in the Munster team. It's like she's also in that Munster team. And it's like looking at a Italian team roster, really. It's like, and their ceiling is just, it's ridiculous. It's like absolutely ridiculous that what kind of a game plan you can come up with to beat this team, say, 3 times. That's like, and now we're going like 6 months ahead, I know, but still, like, if I was talking about Bori, like, walking over teams, this, like, I don't know, this side will, like, yeah, they're just so well balanced. And if they can, like, if they can make it all work, if they just find the right kind of roles for the players, and that they have this good, positive, happy atmosphere inside the dressing room and the organization, there's like the ceiling is for this team is higher than any other team, easily. That's my take.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I mean, I'm just looking at the results from the Derby Super so far. I mean, you know, teams like Hamina and Arroyo Turret couldn't even lift a finger against them. They couldn't score at all, and not surprisingly. It's going to be an incredible season for them, and it's all going to be part of this self-belief as well. They need to believe that they can make it, and not worry about having lost the championship last year, and I don't think they will.
No. It just leaves the kind of a hunger for me, for the players also. And that's what makes them even more, like, dangerous this year. And for me, the hands down favorites at this point to win the championship.
Yeah, and I agree entirely. I mean, it's hard to see anybody else being tipped as favorites. So our final team for our women's preview in this episode was Maila Taret. Now, this is a team that seems to have a bit of a revolving door of players over the last couple of years. But I still like what they're doing there. You know, there's a lot of changes this way and that. But I'm intrigued to see if they have now become one of these solid playoff teams. We talked about their incredible season when they first were promoted into Superpaces, and last year they made it stick, the difficult second season. This year, Mikko, do you see them solidifying themselves as a regular playoff team?
I do. Because even though, like you said, that taking a look at the list, it's like revolving doors. It is. It actually is. But when I take a look at the signings, I would say that the ones that have that are not there anymore from the last year's team, I would say that one or two names stick out, like, say, losing Minttu Reunanen back to Pöytyä, who were, like, promoted once again, and she went back. She's, like, a solid number three on a good playoff team, for sure. I would say that they one or two players will be missed, but then Like, then again, they get like four players from Lapua, let's say, who expanded their roster, and those players who came to play for Mailattaret, those are quality names. I would say that all in all, that they have three or four signings that I'm very interested to see how it pans out for them. But if it does, it's like we are talking about like a stable, like mid-table team that they do have quality all over the pitch, but like maybe not that top quality. But I would not say that they have any kind of worries against like the teams at the bottom, but even the bottom half of the table. I kind of like this team, to be honest.
Mm. Well, they certainly play exciting games, and I think that they've got a decent chance of becoming this kind of solid playoff team. Curiously, though, when you actually look at the table so far in Talvisupar, they've scored fewer runs than everybody else in Group A. And yet, that didn't matter because they finished fourth in the group. They still won more games than they lost. And at the end of the day, who cares if you're scoring the most runs in the league? If you're not winning games, you're not winning games. So it's that kind of way of getting points in games that they seem to have harnessed over the last few years in particular. And I'm excited to see how they'll play. I can't imagine them challenging for the championship, but I can imagine them causing problems for some of the bigger teams in the season, taking points here and there, maybe even a win or two, something that we're used to seeing with them over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, just a short recap that when they came to Superbetis, they came up with a bang. Like, they came to the games, like, all guns blazing and, like, all kind of hell broke loose when they were playing, and they play like it was 8-6, 4-9 or something like that. And like, you don't see that on Superbetis level. You don't. They were just like, they were trying to hit more runs than the other team does, as opposed to conceding fewer runs, which is like the theme normally for teams in Superbetis, I would say, especially in women's Superbetis. But they have like shifted, like, and they have like changed their shape and the way that they play and the way they approach the games. And so this edit, like, what is Mailattaret 2024? It's like, I'm always fascinated about the teams that I have absolutely, I cannot get a grip out of this team before I see them in the summer. Like, they can be basically anything, but now I think that they should be more solid, which is like, that should give me some kind of a warning light, but I don't know. It's a fun team.
Well, we'll see how the season unfolds for them. I've got a lot of interest in seeing how that team will play out in the summer, because, as you say, it's not going to be dull watching them play at all. So we'll see how that all pans out. Well, that will just about do it for our women's previews, and indeed for this episode. So, Mikko, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This was fun as it always is.
And a big thank you from me, Ian Alba, for everyone for listening. And I hope you have enjoyed what you've listened to. Please do like or subscribe even leave us a comment. We would love to hear from you. If you want to know more, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, or on Facebook at SuperpesisR. You can also see some of my articles on the blog at superpesisroundup.wordpress.com. And occasionally you'll see me writing for Hamina's website as well. But from me, Ian Alba, we'll see you soon. That's hidden far away. Don't be afraid.